My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country. By contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights, I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery.
I'm so glad it's you and not me, Greg. I am not a tech man.
It's just...
She suffered a fairly severe beating.
It's just
the video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems...
Get on my phone
impossible.
System. They're so complicated now. I just wanted to make calls and take my email. That's all I care about.
No doubt,
and
right? Exactly. Yeah, okay, we're about 30 seconds off. Not a big deal. I've got it. I've got a 30-second fill that I can
Why
throw
was the Capitol
in,
intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about
so I'm doing live audio, live video. The audio feed started on time. The video feed, I had to wait for this program to open, and I don't always remember that I've got to put this, I've got to activate
the
Stream Deck.
Were there violations
Otherwise
of use of force?
Won't. Do what it's supposed
now
to
I
do.
Now I describe it as an inside
It's funny. It's supposed to automate the system so that that makes things easier. It's a one-button automation.
There's
but the problem is that it doesn't wake up until I click on it and say, hey, dummy, yeah, you, get to work.
Yeah, sometimes they say technology makes it supposed to eat, sometimes it makes it more complicated.
But it's not always.
Yeah,
easy.
They're probably listening, but I refer to them as artificial idiocy.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
This is Adam Mundall with State Air. We need people on radio willing to speak about the Bible, the Constitution, and putting God back in our nation again. So join me in sponsoring Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Call him today at 830-446-3624. That's 830-446-3624. This has blessed my business and it will bless yours. Thank you.
All right. Welcome, folks, to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for tuning in. I know you have a choice in where you can listen here at Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Be sure and support our sponsors, Patriot Mobile, by the way. Check out PatriotMobile.com/Chosen. PatriotMobile.com/Chosen. 972-PATRIOT is the number to call. 972-PATRIOT. Use the code CHOSEN and get a free activation. Patriot Mobile, the only professing Christian conservative mobile phone company. And they're out there as we are a Christian conservative. And I can tell you, they support our ministry. They support what we do here on the program. They support what we do in India. They are the real deal. And I encourage you to make that switch today. 972-PATRIOT or patriotmobile.com/chosen. And, of course, you saw our instructions regarding the health products as well. And I'm a huge advocate of it. But I don't want to take any more time with that because I got a lot I want to get into today. Bottom of this hour, of our second hour, don't forget, our India outreach is today. Every Thursday, we go to a remote location. We bring all of our equipment there in Punjab, and we broadcast. I share my testimony. We have salvations. I pray for people, and God has shown up and done miraculous healing work in that ministry as well. So we'll do that. That'll be at 9:30 a.m. Central, 10:30 a.m. Eastern, and then you'll have to follow us over to social media if you want to stay with that program. And that's at Getter, at Pastor Greg CGR, or at Clout Hub, at Pastor Greg CGR, or on the Facebook pages, which I know are shadow banned, but we're there. So there you go. All right. Also coming up, Luke Macias is with us. We'll talk A.G. Paxton and the acquittal. A lot more to talk about with regards to that situation, and then Pastor Shannon Wright and what's happening in Baltimore schools. But I want to talk right now, and I'm going to lead into this by showing you a couple of quick video clips. And Michael Letts is with us, Invest USA. Michael, let me see. Let me get this unmuted. All right. So one of the things that Merrick Garland was called out on was his assault on religious liberty. Check this out.
Attorney General, through the chair, I ask you, do you agree that traditional Catholics are violent extremists?
Answer I have no question. Idea what the traditional means here. The
Catholics, idea, let me Catholics just, that go I to church.
Your, may I answer your question?
Yes
the
or no.
Idea that someone with my family background would discriminate against any religion is so outrageous, so absurd.
Mr. Attorney General, it was your FBI question. That did this. It was your FBI that was sending, and we have the memos, we have the emails, we're sending undercover agents into Catholic churches.
Both I and the director this of the FBI have said the director that we were of the appalled. FBI. Have said that we were appalled by that memo.
So then you agree that they're not extremists?
We were appalled by that memo.
Are they extremists or not, Attorney General?
I think that...
Are they extremists or not, Attorney General?
Everything in that memo is appalling.
Are they extremists or not? I'm asking a simple question. Say no if you think that was wrong.
Catholics are not extremists. No.
So there you go. They're not extremists, but they get treated like extremists by this Department of Justice. Here's another, and this is more specifically on the issue that we're about to talk about. This has to do with the announcement regarding the special counsel. Let's give this a listen, and then Michael, I'd like your thoughts with regards to this. Hang on, let me get this. There we go.
As a special counsel, here today to announce the appointment of David Weiss as a special counsel, consistent with the Department of Justice regulations governing such matters. Beginning in 2019, Mr. Weiss, in his capacity as U.S. Attorney and along with federal law enforcement partners, began investigating allegations of certain criminal conduct by, among others, Robert Hunter Biden. That investigation has been recently referenced in federal criminal proceedings in the District of Delaware. The appointment of Mr. Weiss reinforces for the American people the department's commitment to both independence and accountability in particularly sensitive matters. I am confident that Mr. Weiss will carry out his responsibility in an even-handed and urgent manner and in accordance with the highest traditions of this department.
Okay, Michael, your thoughts on...
Well, I'll tell you, there's quite a few thoughts on both those issues, but let's take the last one first. I thought it was striking. He said that David Weiss would do this in an urgent matter. Yeah, David Weiss has had this case since 2019. He deliberately delayed so that a number of those indictments from the tax implications from the IRS would expire beneath their statute of limitations, so they couldn't bring charges. So why he is trying to say that David Weiss will urgently pursue this when he has already demonstrated he's had this for over 5 years and no charges so that they expired is just false. I mean, it's an outright lie to Congress. He knows it's an outright lie to Congress. He never mentioned on the fact that it was David Weiss who also entered into a sweetheart plea agreement, crafted it, put it together, would have signed it had the federal judge not smelled a rat and said, oh, whoa, 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 this is not going to work. You need to go back to the table. So there is no confidence by the American people that David Weiss will do this job unbiasedly and without prejudice. He's already demonstrated over 5 years, not even a matter of a week, 5 years, he's been nothing but prejudicial towards this matter. And for anybody, whether it was Garland or anybody else, to not be able to see that and to make him the appointment of special prosecutors tells you there's an ulterior motive. What is that ulterior motive? Well, you know, quite frankly, if I'm looking for a particular result, Greg, you happen to be my best friend and you happen to know or have tried to do everything you can to get me to that point, and that's who I'm going to appoint. And that's who I'm going to put in there, knowing that you're going to, in any way possible, make sure that this case goes away. So he has totally disappointed the American people. He's lied to Congress once again, and this is not unusual for the Attorney General. Can you imagine, Greg, we're sitting here talking about the chief law enforcement officer of the United States who cannot be honest with Congress and the American people. That's just, that's horrible. And to carry into the further thing that was said about his position on Catholics and churches, you know, it rings hollow. You say, why does it ring hollow? It was not just one office. It was multiple offices that did this. He never brought up the fact. He only brought it up when he was caught on the one office.
Right.
He never came back and said, oh, it's been happening in other things. We had to continually bring it out to him that it was multiple offices. And then here's what strikes me, David. He says he was appalled. Okay, great. If you were appalled, tell me what you did about it. Tell me who was disciplined. Tell me, show me the letter that you sent to everybody saying, you know, this is absolutely the most draconian thing. If you ever do this again, you're immediately shown the door. He provided absolutely no evidence of any action that he took.
Well, he acted like his statement is, you know, that would be like saying, okay, you know, I know that, you know, one of my employees was, you know, stealing money, okay? You know, and that's just terrible. But as if you have no control over what was going on, as if it somehow you live in a bubble, and what the people that you're responsible for do, you know what? That's really, you know, that's on them. That's not on me. And so what should I do? Here was his opening statement, by the way, with regards to, you know, I guess talking about we're not going to be intimidated, or we're not a political organization, which is just ridiculous as well. But here, give this a listen real quick.
Justice Department was founded in the wake of the Civil War and in the midst of Reconstruction with the first principal task of bringing to justice white supremacists and others who terrorize black Americans to prevent them from exercising their civil rights. The Justice Department's job then and now is to fulfill the promise that it is at the foundation of our democracy, that the law will treat each of us alike. That promise is also why I am here. My family fled religious persecution in Eastern Europe at the start of the 20th century. My grandmother, who was one of five children, born in what is now Belarus, made it to the United States, as did two of her siblings.
The other two did not. Those two were killed in the Holocaust. And there is little doubt that but for America, the same thing would have happened to my grandmother. But this country took her in and under the protection of our laws. She was able to live without fear of persecution. That protection is what distinguishes this country from so many others. The protection of law, the rule of law, is the foundation of our system of government. Repaying this country for the debt my family owes, for our very lives, has been the focus of my entire professional career. That is why I served in the Justice Department under five different attorneys general under both Democratic and Republican administrations. That is why I spent more than 25 years ensuring the rule of law as a judge. And that is why I left a lifetime appointment as a judge and came back to the Justice Department 2.5 years ago.
So the question I would have for him is then how can you justify kicking down doors of individuals who are standing up for the very least of us?
Well, you know, Greg, here's the sad part about what you just listened to. And this is what we tell the American people every time we get an opportunity. People are great about putting on a spin and putting out a projection that is not real. That's what politics is all about. He did that exactly just then. He gave a tear-jerking story. He made you feel like, you know, this was just somebody that you couldn't help but love. But the problem is, Greg, and this is what I tell, it's not just the Attorney General. This is what I tell America, period. Don't listen to the rhetoric. Watch the actions. The actions are what speak what's in the heart, not the rhetoric. And his actions continually prove a number of things. If you look during that testimony, he looked like a deer in headlights. I don't know what's going on in my own department, as you alluded to earlier.
Right.
No, I can't comment because it's under investigation. He never took a forceful position on anything that is of consequence to the American people. Don't ever let your agents investigate religious organizations just because of their religion. Don't ever try to use your position to intimidate those who don't agree with you politically. He never took a firm position because he knew his actions couldn't back it up. His actions actually showed the exact opposite. So he depends on people just buying the rhetoric, not looking at the action. That's what got this country in this mess to begin with. And it's about time we wake up and become wise as serpents and take a look and see, let me see what you really do. Not what you say, but what you do. And Merrick Garland, you've been weighed and found in the balance and found to be wanting because of the fact that your words have nothing to do, no reality based on what your actions really are.
Well, and for all of us here, you know, that's really, folks, that becomes kind of the scary part with regards to this as well. You know, I had Jeff Zink on Monday, and he was talking about what happened to his son, who was there on January the 6th, standing on the steps, never entered the Capitol, but standing on the steps. And yes, he was frustrated, and yes, he was upset, but he did nothing more or less than, based on the statements that were put against him, but nothing more or less than what Ray Epps said. And Ray Epps gets a little slap on the wrist. Ryan Zink is facing 31 years in a federal penitentiary. 31 years. Not to mention, yeah, well, and if you go on the American Gulag, folks, and I really encourage you to go to the American Gulag website, because if you go to AmericanGulag.org, you're going to hear horrific stories directly from the mouths of these men who've been able to get letters out now about the treatment that they are receiving. and in many of these instances, having never been charged, 720 days in worse conditions than you would imagine a prisoner in somewhere like Iran, and still no charges, and bed sores, and intestinal issues, and I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. We've got individuals who've lost eyes because of infections.
It really is just utterly disgusting, I think is the best word. I've lived in third world countries. I've seen better conditions in their prisons than we have in some of ours. And yet to take American citizens, you know, it used to mean something, Greg, to be an American citizen. I recall the time, you know, in the 50s and 60s when missionaries were, you know, killed in the Amazon jungle. What do? We sit down a contingency of special forces, of Marines, to bring them back because it meant something to be an American citizen. Today, the only thing it means to be an American citizen is to be subject to the same type brutal tactics that Nazis did, that the Gestapo did, that the Brown Shirts did. And that is not what our forefathers envisioned, and that's not what they ever desired. And it's because we, the American people, have stood by idly. We've decided to bury our head in the sands, and we've allowed them, oh, it'll all work out. This is the land of the free and the home of the brave. Folks, freedom is not free. If you don't defend it, you lose it. And we are in the process now of having an administration who's appointed the chief law enforcement officer, chief of the FBI, et cetera, who have demonstrated they have no respect for the law. They have perjured themselves. They have obstructed justice before Congress. They have committed felonious acts that you and I do. We automatically would be in jail. They think they're above the law. The only way, Greg, to move forward in this situation, and I hate to use this analogy, but who do you get to bring to justice people that are at the very top? We're at the point now to where the Constitution provides for a military tribunal. It's in the Constitution. It's in the War Powers Act. And quite frankly, I think we've reached that stage because of the fact that they are doing everything they can to terrorize and destroy the average American citizen.
Well, which is another reason, though, why they have gutted the military command. I mean, they just pushed through just yesterday. Congress or Senator Tuberville from Alabama was trying to get this stopped, and they just went ahead and pushed through a chief of staff that really, from what I'm surmising, and I'll have to get more into this, folks, but from what I've surmised so far, has no business sitting in that seat and would never do what you're suggesting, would never do it.
You are correct. But the great thing, this is what I tell people, Greg, they say, well, is there any hope?
Yes.
Yes, because a military tribunal is called by Congress, not by the military. So the Speaker of the House can ask for a military tribunal or the Commander-in-Chief. Now, you and I both know the Commander-in-Chief's not going to have a military tribunal against himself. But and we have a real question as to how strong we of opponents, proponents we have in Congress.
Absolutely.
But they could do that. And then a military tribunal is made up of junior military officers, not these woke senior general officers. And so, you know, there is some hope in doing that. But quite frankly, the other option, Greg, is what I'm having people ask me all across the country now. Are we to the point to where another American Revolution, a second American Revolution, is fixing to occur? And I can tell you this. There's a lot of people that would view what Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. And we are at that point now. The Americans are going to have to decide what they want for their future. And I don't want oppression. I don't want to be in a Third Reich. I want us to be free the way our Congress and the way our constitutional fathers always envisioned.
Well, and I think the thing that we've got to keep doing is we've got to keep educating people on what the Constitution says, what their rights are. I'm encouraged by the fact that we've had parents that are showing up at school board meetings and individuals that are fighting to take a stand, that are trying to use the actions. We also have citizen grand jury, available to us as well. And I encourage people to check out what a citizen grand jury is and what a citizen grand jury can do. My friend, attorney Larry Klayman, has been doing a lot of work with regards to that. So there are still things within the system, but I agree with you. And I had a guest on yesterday. We were talking a little bit about it, but you know, even Pastor Michael Huckabee is saying, "Look, we're almost to the point, you know, where people are going to be forced to take up arms in order to defend their rights." And I know that's what they want. In a manner of speaking, that's what they want. I think that they're learning that they have begun to bite off more than they can chew. I think that the spirit of the American people and there is a revival that is also coming as an underpinning to that as well. People are tired of the emptiness. They're tired of the woke culture. They're tired of being told that they hate one another when they don't. They're tired of being told that they need to give preferential treatment to perversion. They're tired of watching their children be mutilated by doctors and surgeons that are acting like Goebbels and acting like the Nazis when it comes to experimental stuff. They're tired of the experimental drugs that have been tested on us. And there is more and more and more evidence. And now they're saying they're going to roll out more of that. And I think people are coming to the place of saying enough is enough. You will either change the direction or you will see civil disobedience at a level at which, if you choose, you're going to create the physical war. I would suggest that we are at war. We are already in a spiritual war. Evil is at war with good and has been for many, many years. And in many respects, we've slept on it rather than acting. But now we're seeing evil and the perpetration of evil. And, you know, they want to tell us that it's not happening. And Michael, we know that's a lie. InvestUSA.org, by the way, is working to help our law enforcement officers, the good ones and the good guys that are doing that are trying to stop the real criminals, to have the proper gear to be able to protect themselves so they can come home at night and see their families again. InvestUSA.org. Real quick, and then we got to jump.
There's a madness to all this. Invest, make sure that the law enforcement knows the people support them. They know the government doesn't. We've got to make sure they see our support. Amen. Then we've got a second organization, Restoring Justice, which is we've got to change our judicial system from a two-tiered inequitable system to one of liberty and justice for all. And then we're now going into with this final phase, Greg, that I wanted to mention. I'm asking all Americans to join me in a movement. We will not comply. We will not comply with unconstitutional mandates. You tell me I have to do this, I have to get a vaccination. No, we will not comply with unlawful orders anymore. We as an American people will stand up to this government.
And we better watch what the WHO is doing, because they right now are in the middle of putting together something that Congress has already put into place having to do with digital identification and so forth. And we need to become knowledgeable about that and say, again, as you've started, we will not comply. Jesus Christ is my king. Jesus Christ is the king of my life. I hope he's the king of your life as well, folks. And if Jesus is king and Jesus is Lord, then this tyrannical nonsense that's trying to tell you that they are, you need to throw them off the throne and say, no, I'm sorry, you're not. You're not. And that was what our revolution was about. And they need to get put back in check. Michael, God bless you. Thanks for being with me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless you, Pastor Greg. Have a great day. God bless you and God bless America.
Amen. All right, brother. Listen, folks, we'll be right back. Pastor Shannon Wright's doing something in Baltimore. They are going to be taking a civil class action against the school board, against the mayor, against the city, and against the city council for horrific school conditions if they don't change and if they don't change leadership. We'll talk about it coming up. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural ortho-silic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. And as promised, I'm very pleased to welcome to the program. She is fighting the good fight for better education. And she ran for mayor. She is a pastor who believes that there's a better way, and that children need to be properly educated and given opportunities. And I believe that this is a country that gives opportunities, and it's the responsibility of educators to make sure that those opportunities are presented to every student. There's morals involved in that as well, but we'll get into all of that. We're pleased to welcome Pastor Shannon Wright to the program. Pastor Wright, welcome. Good to have you.
Good morning, and thank you.
Well, my dear, you know, one of the questions that I have for you, because I get this from people all the time, I talk a great deal about what people call political issues, and I chuckle at this now, because we have, in my opinion, we have a tyrannical entity that has said basically that anything that I would speak about is political, so that they therefore can claim that they can silence me. But a lot of Christians think, oh, well, you're not supposed to talk about political things. How do you respond to those statements?
I believe we're absolutely supposed to talk about all things, because we're the one, those that profess to have a Christian faith should also understand their ability and the necessity for discernment, which means in all things, we should have an opinion that is biblically based. And if we don't shine that light, who will?
No doubt. No doubt. Well, I want to play a piece that that talks about the specific issue that you are addressing there in Baltimore. Let's give this a listen, and then I want to hear your thoughts with regards to it.
Well, the clock is ticking one day after protesters rally outside of City Hall with an ultimatum for Baltimore City Schools to remove the CEO in 12 days or face a class action lawsuit.
But as Project Baltimore's Chris Papst explains, it is not just the school system that is under fire. Chris?
Well, the protesters that we spoke with said the community is at a breaking point after decades or even generations of failure within their public school system. They're not only demanding action from the school board, they're also demanding it from the mayor and city council.
My name is Pastor Shannon Wright. With your support and your vote, the next mayor of Baltimore City.
Shannon Wright, 1 year ago, was campaigning for Baltimore City mayor. Now, she's campaigning for something else.
It is now time that we hold everyone appointed and elected accountable.
Why the lawsuit?
Because they're not listening. Asking nicely is not working. Writing letters is not working.
All of you are responsible.
Wright, who runs a nonprofit, was among protesters who rallied outside City Hall Tuesday evening, calling for Baltimore City School CEO, Dr. Sonia Santelises, to resign.
She needs to go.
CEO must go.
It was there that she and dozens of other community members made a stunning demand. Remove Santelises in 12 days, or a class action lawsuit will be filed against not only the Baltimore City School Board, but the mayor's office and city council.
We're watching generation after generation to slide into an education abyss.
And the time is now.
Tuesday's rally follows a year of staggering setbacks in student performance. But it didn't begin there. Project Baltimore investigations have exposed a culture of grade changing and pushing kids through the system without giving them the education they need.
Well, we have questions in reference to test scores being altered, grades being altered.
Since Dr. Santelises became CEO in 2016, graduation rates have dropped. SAT scores and college enrollment are also down. And with a salary of $340,000 a year, Santelises is Maryland's highest paid school leader.
Every time we hear a story and we do nothing, and we see a report and we do nothing, that's more children that are going through this broken system that are not getting a good quality education. And you get to that point where you're like, enough is enough. And for me, this is that time.
Wright's organization, Urban Engagement Initiative, is part of the group threatening to file a class action lawsuit, which she says would claim city schools has been derelict in its duties to educate generations of children while mismanaging funds. Wright says so far, the suit has more than 100 signatures. And it's ready to be filed.
The amount of money that comes into the city of Baltimore per student is more than some private school tuition. So you're telling me that you can't manage to get that money into the classroom to actually educate that child? I just don't see it.
The Baltimore City School Board declined an interview, but is standing by Santelises, saying in a statement that she's a proven, effective, and nationally recognized leader, capable of meeting the standards set by this body and the community it represents. She is the right leader for the right time, and we are grateful to have her.
Do you believe a high school diploma from Baltimore has been cheapened?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The children of this city, their future is at stake. We are absolutely serious. This isn't a bluff. This isn't a, oh, we want something else on the side. No, it's what we're saying. We want a good quality education for the students in the city of Baltimore.
Now, the group behind this potential lawsuit says they also want the school board dismantled and a new board elected by the people of Baltimore. Wright tells us they are currently looking nationwide for a new CEO to take over for Dr. Santelises.
Chris, we heard the group's demands. What would it take for them not to file the lawsuit?
Well, there's essentially two things, Kai. There's one, obviously, Santelises stepping down or the school board firing her. But as we saw from the statement from the school board, they fully support her. The other thing they said would be if the mayor's office, city council, and the school board all came together, opened up their books, became more transparent, and they saw significant changes within the school system that could lead to a better education for the students.
Well, Chris, that brings us to that issue. The mayor has said that he does not have control of the school system. So why would he be named in the lawsuit?
And he doesn't. He doesn't have control of the day-to-day operations within the school system. But what he does have is influence. And he does have the bully pulpit. And he also has money. City Council and the mayor fund about 20% of Baltimore City Schools' operating budget every year. So the lawsuit is targeting also City Council and the mayor because they put a lot of money into the school system and they should have the influence to be able to achieve better outcomes for the kids.
Chris Babbs reporting. Chris, thank you.
All right, so there you have the backstory, if you will, of this effort and this lawsuit, and so again, I welcome Pastor Shannon Wright to the program. Shannon, tell me, what are the things that your group has seen in the Baltimore school system that have you so greatly concerned?
Well, gosh, I don't think that your show was long enough for all that. So
top three, maybe.
We have a phenomenon that I've never heard of in this amount before, ghost students, which are students that are on the rolls that have never attended classes that the district is getting money for. We have the inspector general did an investigation and found in one particular area in a small group of schools over 12,000 students whose grades were changed to make it look like the schools were meeting their goals to be able to continue to get their money from the state. We have students that are graduating that are going off to college thinking that they are well-educated and ready for the world, who get to college and find that they need a good year and a half, sometimes 2 years of remedial classes before they're actually at a freshman level. I could go on from there. One of the things, and this, your show, Pastor Greg, is the first place I'm going to talk about this. Okay. And the guy be the blame. If I get in trouble, you're my witness. In this report, that most recent report that was released, in the past, there were 10 schools that had zero, high schools that had zero students proficient in math. In this current report, 13. Now, interestingly enough, one of the big pushes in quality education is not everybody's it wants to go to college, so we need to increase technical and vocational. Now, in Baltimore City, most of the tech and vocational programs are built through the schools. Now, for personal reasons, over the last year or so, I've had the opportunity to really dive into more than I ever wanted to learn about the medical field. And a specific I'm going to give you, and it's all verifiable. In the dialysis field, a lot of the techs that work in Baltimore City and surrounding areas come through the vocational programs based in Baltimore City. Most of these programs are based at high schools. The largest one, the biggest program that comes from a conglomerate of merged high schools that they formed a skill center specifically to be able to include these medical, technical, vocational skill sets is on that list of students with zero proficiency. Now, how does that work out for you?
For the patient, it's got to be a, and the family of patients, that has to be a very scary statistic.
And we just discovered this 2 days ago, literally 2 days ago. It has not hit media yet, so you are literally the first to hear this.
So the technical, supposed technical training that these individuals are supposed to receive, so that they can, because I know people hear about dialysis as an example, and that's what we're talking about here. But explain to people what exactly is taking place when someone goes in for dialysis.
Oh boy. So basically, dialysis, the dialysis machine and process replaces the filtering and cleaning that your kidneys would do. So your blood is removed, cleaned, and put back in. Now, that means the person that's running that treatment has your life in their hands.
Right. No, you said it. I mean, that you gave the high level view that I was looking for. You're basically, folks, you know, this individual, because we know that, you know, life is in the blood. Biblically, life is in the blood, but scientifically, medically, you drain the blood out of someone and they're dead. I mean, that's the end. It's over. And so you have someone now who is pulling all of the blood out of the patient so that it can be cleaned because the kidneys are not working properly. And this individual, come to find out, is attending a school that is not providing them with all of the necessary skill set, knowledge, and understanding to be able to deal with the significance of what is happening. That's scary.
It's very scary, and it should be scary to everyone that's listening and hears this. You know, if you can't do basic math, if you're not proficient in basic math to be able to do 2 plus 2 or 6 times 10, that means the thought of things like critical thinking are nowhere even near the table. Forget on the side of the table. They're nowhere near the table.
Yeah.
So when you have folks that are working in critical industries that cannot get the basic foundation, you cannot build those next levels. It's when you build a building, you got to make sure those four corners, those pillars are strong for that foundation. And when they're not, you're not going to have a success rate.
When you're not teaching reading, writing, arithmetic, when you're not teaching the basic issues and the basic skill sets that are needed academically to be able to function and then advance, now you're sending these young people out basically to fail. And then we wonder why we have, you know, crime rates, why we have abortion issues, why we have pregnancy issues, why we have drug issues, why we have all of these other problems that are there. And in addition to that, what are they spending their time doing? They're spending their time telling everybody that they should all hate one another, right? That they should have disdain for one another. And everything is predicated then on creating this emotional perversion. Oh, and then let's not forget the fact that we got a question, because we certainly can't say we're he's and she's anymore. We're some other form, and we're not giving them any form of education. We're just filling their minds with a whole bunch of garbage.
So, you know, I this just popped in my head. If indeed we were providing, and I'm going to get in trouble for this from some of the folks in Baltimore, but that's okay. If we were actually providing a proper educational and academic foundation, some of the issues of he, she, we, they, them, the other over there, and all of that would be solved by, one, a science understanding and foundation. You know,
now, Pastor, now, Pastor, hold on a minute, okay? When it comes to that part of science, you can't follow the science. When it comes to the lies about science, you know, like, I don't know, forced vaccines and experimental drugs and so on, now you better. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's follow the science that we want you to follow that isn't real science. It's the pseudoscience, just like it sounds to me like they're providing a pseudo education.
It's pseudo something, all right.
and they're about to get pseudoed.
Exactly. So with regards to that, we had issued an ultimatum. In this process, we found other folks that were preparing to file lawsuits as well. There has been a lawsuit filed. We sat in conference. I couldn't tell you how many hours trying to figure out the best path forward. And we decided, instead of going class action first, to go taxpayer first, showing that we're not getting a return on our investment from our taxes with regards to the publication. So sure. The suit was filed on those grounds. The actual named complainants were two parents with currently have children in Baltimore City Public Schools. Fortunately for us, our children are older and out of school, and we actually had the ability, and I'm not even sure how, but we had the ability to homeschool before homeschool was even a thing. But for all the parents that can't do that, that don't have that option,
right,
the public schools have to function. They have to, effectively.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a parent that does everything you can to get your child into one of the, quote, better schools in the city, and your child graduates, and they may get a scholarship. Now, that scholarship does not cover, for the most part, remedial classes. So if your child graduates with a Baltimore City diploma, gets accepted into college based on their GPA, gets there and cannot perform at grade level, that year and a half to 2 years is coming out of your pocket.
Yep. Or they have to come home.
Yes.
Or they have to come home. And yes. Now.
They've done all this. Yep. And then you're in a place where you're sent back home with your tail between your legs and your head down. Your self-esteem is messed up. Your ability to earn is messed up. You're even understanding who you are and thinking you knew so much about yourself that you now don't know what's real and what's not, is why we see a lot of the issues, the socioeconomic issues that we see in the city. And it stems from not having a good foundation, whether it's a family foundation, a biblical foundation, or an educational foundation. Mm-hmm. Most things in the Bible are in threes. And those three right there are needed to build a solid foundation for any human being.
Well, and then what happens is then people get caught up in, you know, okay, I'm a victim, and now I'm a victim and I need to find somebody to blame for my victimhood. And they do a really good job of masking who's really responsible. And that's what you're doing. You're saying, wait, we're gonna get this at the root, because the root responsibility is the public education. I saw a reel yesterday of a woman who went into it looked like a high school class, and the woman had taken one of those pride flags and put it over a map of the United States. It was supposed to be a history class. And I assume that her son had said, you know, Mom, they're not teaching us history. They're forcing this agenda on us. So she came in, saw it, grabbed the flag and pulled it off of the American map and threw it and went to throw it in the garbage and told the teacher, look, I am a taxpayer. You take my tax money and you're teaching garbage. Now start teaching real history and start doing your job. And the teacher's, oh, I'm going to call security on you, and started going, and you could hear the kid in the background going, don't talk to my mama like that. But, you know, I mean, this is what they're doing, folks, in these public education indoctrination houses in many of these instances. And this is what you're talking about. They're not teaching these children truth, and they're not giving them the skill sets that they need in order to be successful.
When you have a school, a high school, that, let's say, let's round down the numbers, 500 students, and you have, of those 500 students, zero proficient in math, what are you doing? And, you know, a lot of folks say, don't blame the teachers. We have a lot of good teachers. And yes, there are a lot of good teachers. But if you have a school building with zero students proficient, what are you doing? This is systematic. This is wide scale. This is horrific. Because you to have maybe, you know, 40 or 50, 60, 70% proficient, okay. But you've got zero?
Yeah.
You can't tell me you're doing the right things.
Yeah.
You just...
Well, and then so when you see this, how do they respond? Who do they blame? Who do they? Oh well, it's not our fault. It's who? I mean, who do they point the finger at?
You know, we haven't had we haven't been able to recover the ground lost, the academic ground lost since the pandemic. But this started long before the pandemic.
Yeah,
this started long before the pandemic. The pandemic is the current excuse. When you look at when you look at how many adults in this city are illiterate and literally cannot read and write, and you look back to and you count back for those that have an education outside of Baltimore City, and you count back the age of these folks to when they would have been in school, you get a better idea, a sense of how long these schools have been broken. So you can't tell me that it's not the administration. It's not one person responsible. You can say that, but in good leadership, it stops somewhere.
Yeah.
So if you're the superintendent of schools and you're making almost $500,000 a year leading the largest district that is also on the bottom list of the state, and this woman makes approximately $20,000 less than the New York City Chancellor of Schools, who has about 10 times as many students that are actually proficient and graduating. How does that work? Did somebody who graduated from Baltimore City, one of those schools, do the math to figure this is what she should get paid for not educating children and making sure these kids are getting an education? Come on now.
It sounds like the same kind of math proficiency that they have with the 500 students that you described. We're at the end of our time, and I apologize for that. But very quickly, what is the best website for people to go to get more information about what we're talking about here?
So you can go to urbanengage.org. You can also follow me on Facebook, Pastor Shannon Wright on Facebook. For anybody that's listening to your show and reaches out to me on Facebook, I will send you the list of all of our social media to follow us. We are going to be really active and visible and vocal about this education issue. This is the fixing this fixes so many other issues in the city. So this is...
Well, and I think the other thing, just very quickly in the final moment here as we close this, folks, that I just want to say, too, we're talking specifically with Pastor Shannon right here today about Baltimore. But let's be clear. This is not just a Baltimore issue. This is a nationwide problem that is happening in America's education system all across the country, all across the country. And I applaud you, Pastor Wright, for what you and your organization, urbanengage.org, are doing by calling these people to account. We've tried to vote them out. We've tried to go to school board meetings. We've tried all of that. And they've called us domestic terrorists. Okay, well, then now we're going to go to court. Now we're going to take them to court, and we're going to hit them right where it counts. We're going to hit them at their money. We're going to hit them at their dollars and cents, and maybe we're going to get their attention. I applaud you and I thank you for what you're doing. And I just say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you to give them favor. I ask you to suspend every plan and plot of the enemy to block this in the name of Jesus Christ. And I ask, Father God, that light shine upon and expose the darkness. And I thank you, Father God, that in the light there is victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Shannon. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we're going to take our break. Luke Macias joins us. Another case of injustice, the impeachment of Attorney General Ken Paxton. He has been acquitted, but now where do we go? We'll talk about it coming up in the next hour. And don't forget, bottom of this next hour, we're live in India with our service. We'll be back with more ChildrenGenerationRadio.com. ChildrenGenerationRadio.com on Children Generation Radio, coming up right after this brief break.